Well, good morning. How about that sleep late Friday? Should have slept a little bit longer so I could get my words together this morning. Well, it's good to be back with you all this morning, and it's good to come back and look at another promise of God. For the past couple times together, we've been saying that the heart of Christianity is not your performance, not your ability to keep your promises, not your faithfulness, but God's faithful promises to you. And we've said that because He is gracious in giving us these precious promises, it actually enables us to go and hold back onto Him, to hold fast to our profession. And so we're going to take these times in the morning to mine the Scriptures, to try to dig out the promises of God, the precious promises of God, and to store them up so that we can know them and pray them and share them and live upon them. And yesterday we looked at that promise from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 that said, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow." And we saw that God's promise is to give us forgiving, guilt-removing grace. That He takes off our stains and gives us Christ's righteousness in this place. Well, this morning we want to look at another promise from God from the Scriptures. And this is from Psalm chapter 103. And we're going to look at verse 12, but I'm going to read some of the verses around it in particular. So let me read it out for us this morning. It says this. Starting in verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He always keep His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us." Back in 1876, there was this huge kind of festival. They called it an exposition in the town of Philadelphia. And at this exposition, people brought forth new products and new innovations. And one in particular that they brought forth at this big exposition back in 1876 was a new plant that was supposed to be this miracle vine. It was supposed to be something that would provide shade on your porch. It would provide this beautiful decoration and ornament to your house. It would help out farmers so that the soil would not erode as quickly as it does. It would be supposed to be this high-protein cattle fodder that was supposed to be revolutionized the industry. And back in the Great Depression, the federal government even paid farmers to plant and cultivate this miracle vine, this life enhancer that was supposed to just revolutionize the face of the earth. And it was called kudzu. Perhaps you've seen kudzu, right? It was this miracle vine. It was this life enhancer, this decorative, ornamental thing that was supposed to just change everything. But instead of changing everything in a good way, it's changed everything in a bad way. Millions and millions of acres the landscape of the United States are covered, overtaken, swallowed up by this vine called kudzu. It grows a foot a day. It's a miracle vine. It's called the vine that ate the South. And the way it works is it grows this foot a day. Sometimes it'll smother whole trees, vegetation, other flowers. It can swallow up houses and power lines and other buildings. And then just kind of blankets the whole landscape to where all you see is this green vine, these huge leaves swirling up and just locking things down. Well, in my hometown, Chattanooga, Tennessee, had a bad problem with kudzu. In fact, above the school I went to in Macaulay, there was this thing called Missionary Ridge, this huge ridge, and there are these tunnels that go through it, and the kudzu was starting to grow down over the entrance to the tunnels. And they tried herbicides, they tried pesticides, they tried they tried everything. They could not get this kudzu to stop growing, and so they resorted to kudzu-eating goats. They got this flock of goats, and they turned them loose on this hillside to eat up all the kudzu. And it's great, because goats can eat a lot. They can eat more than a foot a day. And they were keeping the kudzu in check, except for, all of a sudden, the goats started to wander off, and they started to go into other people's yards, and it became a problem. So they put a fence around the kudzu-eating goats. Well, that didn't work, because they would jump the fence. So they put a guard donkey in with the kudzu-eating goats. And the guard donkey didn't do his job because dogs and other things are getting in there and attacking the goats. And so they traded the guard donkey out for a guard llama. And the llama was great, except for the goats and the llamas would get in some scrapes. And there was one instance in which a llama bit off a goat's tail and started this whole fight, and it was just this big mess, right? And the more and more I thought about this, the more and more I thought, that's so much like my life. I invite something I think is going to be really good, this miracle solution to all my problems in my life, something I think is going to fill me up and bless me and be this decorative enhancement, this useful blessing in my life. And all of a sudden it gets out of control and complicated and messy, and it's not easily removed. And that's the way the sin works in all of our lives. Sin always comes across looking as something very good on the surface. Something that promises freedom, that promises delight, that promises ease and blessing. But it lies, and it pretends, and it hides behind masks because you can't control it. You can't get rid of it easily. It gets overtaken until sometimes your life looks like it's smothered and swallowed and blanketed and locked up. And so then what we have to do is we have to resort to these elaborate strategies to get control of and maintain and try to manage the problems that we've invited into our lives. And then the remedies become very complicated and messy. We've got to get remedies for our remedies for our remedies. We've got to get llamas to take care of our gut. You know, you get the sense of it. And we get frustrated by this constant adjustment and refinement. How do we control and get rid of this thing that we invited into our life, but we have no control of? And for some of us, we just want to give in. We say, it's too complicated, it's too much work, it's too messy, it's too exhausting. And so we just say, I'm going to live swallowed up and smothered and blanketed by sin. I'm just going to do it. But what is God's promise to us this morning? What is His promise from Psalm 103? He says, I give you freeing, liberating grace. Notice what He says there in verse 9. He says, I will not always chide. In other words, I'm not going to lecture you. I'm not going to tell you all the ways you've been foolish and silly. Why did you ever invite this thing into your life? He's not going to rub your nose in it and make fun of you and say, learn your lesson and never do it again. Verse 10 says, He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. But He gets into the kudzu vine mess of our sin that we've invited, we've planted, we've cultivated, we've tried to get rid of, become frustrated with, been smothered and swallowed and blanketed by. And He promises us freedom and liberation. The promise He says there in verse 12 is simply this: as far as the east is from the west, I will remove your transgressions, your sins, your foolish decisions from you. Now think about that for a second. That's a pretty big question. How far is the east from the west? Now I went to Davidson College, a good school. But I'm not sure if I can answer that question. We might have to resort to someone who went to like Clemson or one of those very high philosophical brow schools to help us understand this question. How far is the east from the west? The answer is infinitely far, right? If you go east, you'll never run into the west. And if you go west, you'll never run into the east. And so the image that the psalmist is saying is that God removes our foolishness and our sin and our harmful decisions as far from us as it is possible. So this morning, you have a choice. You can give into your out-of-control sin and say, I'm just going to make peace with it. I'm just going to live a smothered, swallowed-up, blanketed life. I'm too exhausted. It's too complicated. I've run out of strategies. Or you can say, you know what, I'm going to keep working my strategies until I find the right combination of goats and llamas and fences, and I'm going to get rid of this thing. Or you can say, God, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Remember your promise, Lord Jesus. Remember your promise that you said you would remove my transgressions as far as the east is from the west. The question today is not, can Jesus do that? But it is, will you be humble and honest and needy enough to say, Lord, remember your promise. Give me hope. Remove my sin from me. Have compassion on me as you have promised you would. Let me pray for us this morning as we get going. Lord Jesus, we have made a mess of our lives. Some of us want to hide that. Some of us want to give in to it. Lord, we pray that you'd give us the grace to say yes to your grace this morning. And we thank you for your promise that you will remove our sin, the stuff that we've invited into our lives, as far as the east is from the west. Lord, would that lift up our heads? Would that enable us to enjoy today? Would that enable us to walk in the light and to have fellowship with one another? We pray it in your name. Amen.